You're from St. Louis.
Yeah. Yes, born and raised.
So what part of town did you grow up in?
A portion of it, Creve Coeur, after.
I'm from Creve Coeur.
Yeah, right out of Schulte Avenue. Right off of Olive,
yeah,
right? Very. And then we moved to Town and Country, and so since I was probably 14, yeah, until I went off to school, but went to Webster.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, so I stayed here for quite a while to be out in LA now. So my brother like left earlier on, like a smart person, to DC to try some other things.
DC, that's a fun place. Is there a place in St. Louis you have to visit when you come back?
Anything? I mean, I hate the Steak and Shake. I hate the St. Louis Chop Suey, 100%, right? And then, I mean, Mom's Kitchen. So, what are you making? That happens, yeah. Oh, Emo's Pizza.
There you go.
Emo's Pizza. Yeah. That's what my brother goes for.
So, can you tell us how you went from Webster University to producer of Manchester by the Sea?
It's probably been a long journey. You know, I had such an interest in creative, but, like, it really started off in fashion. So while I was at Webster, I started a company called St. Louis Wedding Design. And I had a business partner who kind of ran the event planning side. I ran the bridal salon. We basically sold everything from like your favors to your invitations to your wedding dresses. And in some ways, I think that like was a safe place to fall, being a girl from St. Louis. And I was a little bit afraid to like really tap on what my passion was. From there, kind of, I ended up applying for an internship at W Magazine, and they were like, you just owned your own business for the last 5 years while you were in school, like it was after I graduated, and they were like, we're going to hire you for a job, you're going to work for the marketing advertising side of W, and I was like, absolutely, I can be here on Monday, and I packed up my bags, and there I was, and then from there, moved over to the editorial side of W, and then did set design after that, so I've been kind of throwing darts around the creative, which in some ways I think helped to be able to produce, because you know you're like hiring all the department heads of all of those various backgrounds, from costume design to set design, you know, to be able to work with the director, which I've worked with, you know, photographers or cinematographers. So in that way I was really grateful, because I was like, I know my dad's probably like, what next? And so he's probably glad that I like nailed it on something he sees me so driven towards.
Yeah,
and sure about, for sure.
So I have to ask, while you were at Webster, were there any professors there or people there who that really inspired you?
Eileen Solomon. Because I'm obsessed with her. One, it's her personality. She's me and her the same person. We're like a straight shooter. We shoot straight from the hip. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, her being in, you know, television as a woman.
Yeah.
You know, it was just inspiring from that way. I mean, you know, how hard it was to have the right representation with the correct representation on screen as females, and not to be put into this kind of like over sexualized box. So she was my also advisor, mm-hmm. and I'm not just saying she was my favorite teacher because she was my advisor, but we just have these conversations, you know, just about, you know, how to like really package yourself and market yourself, and what really, you know, you're inspired, you know, what really inspires you. And she necessarily, you know, gave me a bigger bit, different vision than actually jumping in to be a journalist. So she was the one that, you know, kind of pushed me down the road to kind of go and try to like start developing content in a different way from the producing side. Because she saw me kind of like behind the camera doing it so well. On camera, I was like, behind the camera. Write a great script, be ready. They'd be rolling tape, and I'd be like, so hi, it's like today such and such. I'm like, oh God, like some of those tapes are so awful. And like, I'm glad I have lock and keep over them.
Oh, I can relate to that.
To be on camera is a whole different beast, to be able to deliver and sell. It's like acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not an actor.
No.
Right.
So this is not your company's first film, but your company's fairly new, and wow, what a big success. What's it like? What's it been like on the festival circuit and just riding this roller coaster?
I'm hoping it doesn't turn into a pumpkin, because I do feel like a Disney princess for sure. It's been great. I mean, the distributor that we're working with, from Roadside to Amazon, has been awesome. And I mean, you know, you hear about stories about like other films and like they don't talk to you and they, you know, don't really connect with the producers. Kind of like they acquire the film and then they're like, God bless you, and they're moving on. Amazon has engaged us at every level and every decision, and Roadside Attractions too. And I'm not just giving it as a sales pitch. I am so grateful for that because I'm able to learn it, right? So whether I sell my next 10 films to Amazon and Roadside, at least when I go to another distributor, I know what I can expect. I know the areas and where I can like push into. And then just the response from the critics. I'm like, oh my God, this person just wrote this about us. And like, this is crazy. Is this really happening? Because it's like only 1% of films actually make their money back. Right? I mean, like, mm-hmm, I mean, like we're in the, mm-hmm. We're in the 1% of films that actually make their money back, but actually are able to get such awesome reviews. So, you know, we're like a unicorn in some way. Graham Taylor, who like sold our film and works at WME, telling us that he's like, you guys are unicorns. Like, this doesn't happen.
And I think this is like the perfect indie film because it's got a great story. You got, you know, recognizable main cast. You got a great director. And it looks fabulous. You know, the locations and everything. It like hits every mark.
Thank you.
How did you come to this property? How did this come to you?
It was introduced to us through Kevin Walsh, who is another producer on our film. We were working on another project together called The Eel. And I had met him 3 years ago and thought he was awesome and a real stand-up guy. And then, you know, the script came across his desk. And he just thought we'd be the right team to be involved. Then I got a chance to sit down with Matt and Chris Moore, who I love. I mean, you know, it's like scary to like expect I'm going to go in a meeting with Matt Damon. I'm like, you know, sitting there and I'm like, okay, trying to like stop my knee from shaking. And he's like, guys, want something to drink? I'll go get you some coffee. And he like, you know, like serving us and like, what do you guys want to talk about? And like just shared stories and I mean, involved in every part of the process. He was doing interviews pre-Manchester, just like with the APK video you kind of get together for, you know, as you're trying to form, sell the film. And Jordan, while he was on set. Calls with Kenny, as we were like, you know, giving kind of like production notes. I mean, while he was like actually shooting on the last two projects that he's done. So to have that level of involvement was awesome. Chris Moore, you know, they had such a long relationship from doing, you know, Good Will Hunting. So it's kind of getting the band back together in a weird way,
right? And they were letting you play.
And Chris Moore is like such a like down to earth, like real person. That made me feel safe because you hear about all the crazy stories about the people you partner with and like how crazy and you can get taken advantage of. You know, obviously my dad was really nervous about that. His daughter going out into Hollywood, and so. You know, Chris Moore's from Maryland. I'm from Missouri. So, like, we had that right there to, like, connect, like, for real people.
Right.
And, you know, he's so smart and has such a beautiful vision. So, you know, him and Matt were really involved on the creation of the story and hiring Kenny to write it and, you know, developing from that process. And then, you know, we jumped on to produce and finance. Here we are.
Well, I have to ask because, of course, the draw of being able to produce alongside someone like Matt Damon, of course, is a big draw. But I have to ask in terms of the content of the film, in terms of what's in it, what about the story really impacts you and what about the story really drew you to it?
You know, I had to throw a question back at you, but I'll say this. I'll share this story. Someone actually asked me that at the PGA screen. They said, would you have financed this movie if Matt Damon's name was attached? And I was like, 100%. I have scripts that I absolutely love that have no attachments to them.
Right.
Like we just acquired and it's like, this is happening. I don't care. We'll figure it out. And I mean, if you want to do this from the most authentic side, that's the most satisfying side. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he definitely was helpful to, you know, with his name and obviously notoriety. But it was authentic because he was so a quarter of Kenny from the very beginning, since Margaret, you know, and before that when he was in, you know, Kenny's play in London in 2001. So that felt great about it, you know, when you have all those like splashy names that you think are going to like close your foreign deals and stuff, you know, so.
So what would you like to share with us that was your most special part on the set?
Seeing Kitty on the red carpet for the first time is going to make me cry actually thinking about it a little bit. Because he went through such a hard experience. And when I read it, I had empathy for it. I had nothing but empathy for it. And so to like see him like actually start to talk about his film and feel good about that and know he nailed it this time and everybody wanted to hear what he had to say, mm-hmm. that was everything. So like Lauren and I were standing on the sideline, we're just like, oh my God, this is so great. Like he's like back again, you know, like Coach Margaret in the game again, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm not a writer and I don't, you know, ever claim to try to be that way. And that script is very, you know, that those things are very precious to him. And I learned even deeper. I think I came in with the right attitude, but it made me learn even deeper about how much that creative is so precious to the filmmaker mm-hmm. and the artist behind it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to really make sure, you know, you have Kitty gloves on when you're like approaching and trying to look, get it in the can, right? So, and you know, and you know, really understanding our, you know, none of these independent films have models that really make real viable sense. But I think that that's changing now with some of the new platforms and the new way that people are releasing films and being smarter. So hopefully Netflix of it all, the Amazons of it all can change the game a little bit. You know, because, you know, you're not like, Amazon's not depending on, you know, film to make their bread and butter, but they're able to support it in a real way. So the people that are, you know, marketing our film are some of the best of the best. Bob Bernie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bob Bernie. Call him Bob Bizzle. And so that's funny. And I was like, it's Bob Bizzle. He is, you know, just like awesome. And like, it's like really shared a lot with me about like film marketing. Like, so even if Amazon doesn't buy the next project or I have one that like needs a home, mm-hmm. you know, really try to figure out our save our shit model. So that's what you want.
I felt a couple more questions.
Okay.
One of the things I liked about the film so much was the authenticity, that it didn't feel like, you know, the same story over and over again, you know, this kind of rut that Hollywood's got in where it's the same story mm-hmm. all the time with the sequels.
It has a genuine feel you cannot create.
Genuine, authentic, realistic, very refreshing.
I like the fact that like you're in between, because sometimes you're right there at that moment where it's like, no, I haven't seen the other end of the, you know, the end of the rainbow yet, but right now I just went through this difficult, tragic situation and I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And I can't even reach to connect to like do what I think is 100% right. People are always going through that process, and I think he stopped it right at that moment that where people were at their almost like mm-hmm. lowest. So I think everybody's gonna identify with that. I have identified with that for mm-hmm. you know, different, you know, issues or problems that have, you know, arisen in my life, or watching, you know, family members go through that. So that I loved. And then mm-hmm. it's funny. He's funny. Like on these panels, he has like, I'm like, dude, like I'm like, you know, cause he's like really, you know, kind of shy and very focused on set, you know, and he's just talking to people, but like not as much of a jokester as he is on the other side of it. He's hilarious. But then you can tell kind of like by some of the irony you see in the film. You know, Lucas is so funny in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Humor was so natural and so and just the way guys interact, that was just all so perfect.
It's this one moment that I love so much. It's when he's dropping, he brings him over to Sandy's house. And Lucas gets out the car and just like looks at him one time before he walks off. Uh-huh. That moment, like every time I like bust out laughing, it's just like because they had this rapport. But Casey was such an awesome mentor and like big brother on set to him, and like, you know, just helping him through scenes, because like a big movie, and then you're trying to like measure up against like Kyle Chandler, Michelle Williams, Steve Broderick, and you know, like as a young 19-year-old kid. Okay.
And he went toe to toe with them perfectly.
Oh, yeah. He was ready.
Perfectly. Absolutely.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. So.
And how can you not love Casey? That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like all of this film. Jesse James.
Mm-hmm.
Boy. So I don't mean to step on everybody's questions.
Please, go ahead.
I will. You know, this is a pivotal moment in film, in in cinema for both women and African Americans. Mm-hmm. So here you are coming in with this new company at this particular point. What are you going to do with this? You have to feel like there's both opportunity and maybe obligation.
And I think one of it, I think it's representing that opportunity right now, because I think it's important for diversity to be, like, you know, I've been saying this 100 times, but I'll say it again, included on the camera, but also off of it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the type of film, so that we can start diversifying people's mind, the type of films that, it's a good script. And Manchester, you know, doesn't have a ton of, like, multicultural people across it, but I mean, it's really based on the town in which it's set in.
Yep.
But as far as, like, the people on the ground, the 225 people that we hired of creatives that had the opportunity to work, I mean, yeah, we moved that needle for sure. And in the projects that were coming up, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
From women DPs to female directors to, I mean, there is, you know, a couple of artists that we were working with. One DP that I've been, like, stalking down, who's actually handicapped from a wheelchair. And I'm like, that is what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter as long as, like, you know, it all matches, all creative, all works. Why can't we take that risk? We're financing our own movies. And right. that's why, thank God, with the blessing of the fam, like, you know, able to get, you know, so if nothing else, if I'm going to take the, like, free hookup, I need to do something with it.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do across the board, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're getting the ramp up here, so.
Yes,
she really wants to stay with us all afternoon.
The other people that are interviewing her would not.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The film's wonderful. And
yes.
I'm really looking forward to the next.
We didn't want to say a whole lot.
Next one.
Bill hasn't seen, but I can't wait to see what the next.
I wasn't able to make the press screening, but I've been very. I'm very excited to see your film.
Thank you, thank you. What's for the favorite?
I was gonna say.
We can squeeze you up in it. I was like, I'm looking at her. I'm like, ah.
But Kate and I did get to see it, and you should be very proud of every second of that film.
Thank
it
you.
Is and incredible. That,
absolutely.
And also, absolutely incredible.
And I also have to say, as someone who comes from Webster, and as someone who knows a lot of people who want to do what you do, or who want to get really involved in the film business, I think this is something that will very much reassure their dreams, you know?
Yes. I think it's easy when you can see someone that, like you, mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. from whatever perspective they're looking at it from, to say, like, this can happen. For
yes.
sure.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We got the Webster crowd here. I'm on Webster, too.
I didn't even know that.
I went to SLU in Lindenwood. Don't hold it against me.
Come on. I like St. Louis. My mom and dad got an honorary doctorate from SLU. So
fantastic. All right. Very
they're
good.
They're kind of alma mater in an abstract way possible.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You so
thank
much.
You. I've been calling my mom Dr. Mom.
Yeah.